This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Just in time for the upcoming season, the Cincinnati Bengals have announced a new naming rights deal. Paul Brown Stadium, which was named for the team's founder and first head coach when it opened in 2000, will now be known as Paycor Stadium. Neither the team nor Cincinnati-based Paycor HCM Incorporated disclosed the financial terms of the deal. Joining me to discuss what the naming rights could mean for the team and the community are Chair of Northern Kentucky University's Department of Marketing, Sports Business, and Event Management, Dr. Joe Cobbs. Welcome, Joe.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Villanova University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Rick Eckstein. Thanks for being here, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Lucy.
And WCPO9 iTeam reporter Dan Monk. Welcome back, Dan.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Rick, let's start with you. We've known for a few weeks that the Bengals were exploring a naming rights deal. Why is it that important to an NFL team to have a deal like this revenue-wise?
I don't know if I'd use the word important, but it's definitely beneficial because typically all the money from naming rights deals accrue to the teams. So what it in essence is just a pool of money that they get to use how they want, regardless of how the stadium might have been financed at the beginning. And so like in Cincinnati, it was primarily publicly financed, but naming rights money always accrues to the team. So it's just this pot of discretionary money that they can then use for whatever they want. I don't know why they've held out so long, but it doesn't surprise me at all that they're going down this road.
Yeah, and they don't have to share it with the rest of the NFL, right?
That's right. There are very strict rules about what gets shared with other teams and what doesn't. And this is definitely off limits to revenue sharing.
Gotcha. And Joe, how much do you think this deal is worth? I mentioned that neither the team nor the company have disclosed the value, but do you have some guesses or estimates on that?
Sure. I can make a guess based on some similar market sizes. In other markets, the Steelers just signed a new naming rights deal that was about $10 million a year. So that's $10 million annually. Steelers has a little bit, more of a larger national brand than the Bengals. So I would expect the Bengals to be a little bit less than that, but that's a kind of a good gauge, somewhere in the $7, $8 million range, perhaps something like that.
Hmm. And Dan, under the terms of the Bengals lease, how much of that will the team get to keep? Some money for this they would have to share with the county, right?
Well, the lease says there's a 70-30% split. The team gets 70%. But it's kind of a quirky lease in that everything has to be adjusted to year 2000 numbers. So a payment that the Bengals would get this year would have to be discounted with a 6% rate back to 2000. I looked at an inflation calculator online yesterday, and a $1 million payment today would have been worth $580,000. In 2000. Plus, the Bengals are allowed to deduct from that amount any cost they had in terms of signage or marketing expenses or really anything it cost them to put that naming rights deal into effect. They're allowed to deduct from the gross revenue. So the actual amount that the county will split, it's far less than if the deal's worth $160 million over 16 years, for example. Going to be far less than, 70% of $160 million.
Hmm. And you just mentioned how complicated the lease is. Isn't there some kind of threshold of 16 million or 16.5 or something that's in there too?
On the naming rights portion?
Yeah, in terms of
yes, you're right. Yeah, the first 16.7 million, I believe, is not subject to that 70-30 split. So, one way of thinking about this is if you take $160 million, adjust it down to 2000 levels, subtract 16.7 million from that, after that number is available, then you can apply 30% of that revenue to the county.
Gotcha. So, Rick, you brought this up earlier, but do you have any idea why the Bengals did wait so long to pursue a deal? You think maybe they were waiting for a good season like they had last year?
It's quite possible. A lot of teams, when they start stadium initiatives, or perhaps less so when they're looking for naming rights, because most of them have them from the get-go, but they do wait for a good public relations wave. There's usually a little less opposition. But if Dan's point is on target, and of course it usually is, and given Joe's number from before, the fact that we're talking about it, $10 to $15 million per year deal, that means the deductible will not go into effect, and the county will get nothing. So it not till it goes over that number per year. So that could be why they're being coy about it also, is that they're sort of testing the waters to see what kind of reaction there's going to be, and to not maybe upset as many people as might get upset when they hear these numbers thrown around.
Hmm. Well, we did already get an email from a listener who referenced a quote from Bengals president Mike Brown that's been in these news releases. The quote from Mike Brown was, "This is a move that I think my father would have agreed to. He was always for what is best for the football team." And Steve from Oakley wrote in an email, "I don't think any taxpayer in Hamilton County would ever disagree that the Bengals/Brown family have always chosen what is best for whom. The primary question should be, how does the naming rights impact the citizens of Hamilton County who have been and are paying for the stadium, identified as the worst stadium deal in the country? Maybe the days of accepting the short end of the stick for Hamilton County are and should be coming to a close." It sounds like, Rick, you're maybe a little skeptical of that.
I don't know. Skeptical of what particularly, Lucy?
That the days of the county getting the short end of the stick could be coming to a close.
Oh, no, I'm not skeptical about that at all. I think that the county will continue getting the short end of the stick as counties across the country continue to get the short end of the stick. This isn't going to in any way, even if the county gets a little bit of the revenue, it's not in any way going to compensate for the tens or hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent over the years. So financially, I mean, it's I'm thinking it's like if I report what I've seen the public reports of the range of possibilities. It's like if I said to the IRS every April, well, I made somewhere between $30,000 and $200,000 last year, but I'm not quite sure which one. So this coyness is somewhat, it raises a flag with me that some kind of shenanigans might be going on.
Mm. Joe, will this extra money mean for the team's ability to keep players like quarterback Joe Burrow? We heard from Rick that this is money they don't have to share with the NFL. It gives them a pool of this discretionary money. What will that mean for the team's outlook and being able to keep folks like Joey B?
Yeah, I think it's certainly important given that they have a relatively young team and certainly some young superstars, as you mentioned. And in order to keep those superstars, you know, in the future, as part of the future of the Bengals, they're going to need to outlay more money as related to payroll, especially when those rookie contracts come up and those players go on the free agent market. I think one other thing to note here is, while I agree with everything that was being said, the Bengals are a team that is going from no income, basically, from naming rights to some income. So as a Hamilton County taxpayer myself, I was happy to see that maybe there'll be at least some income that will trickle to Hamilton County to offset some of that taxpayer burden, if you will. So I just want to point that out, that we're going from a baseline of no sold naming rights for the last 20 years or so.
Hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Bengals' new naming rights deal with Northern Kentucky University's Department of Marketing, Sports Business, and Event Management Chair, Dr. Joe Cobbs, Villanova University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Rick Eckstein, and WCPO9 I-Team reporter, Dan Monk. Dan, tell us a little bit about Paycor, the company that bought the naming rights. How does this make business sense for Paycor?
Well, they're in the process of trying to expand their regional footprint. They're mostly doing business with Midwestern companies, and they want to be a national player in the payroll processing industry. And so this deal would give them more visibility. It would expose them to millions of fans on NFL Sundays every week. And I think that's the main driver for them. It's a little unusual for them because they're not that big a company. You know, a lot of naming rights deals are in multi-billion-dollar companies, And this one is a $400 million company, but they're trying to get to a billion with this national strategy.
Are there some questions about whether this is a smart investment for Paycor?
Well, I don't think anybody can prove that these deals work for any company. So whether it's a wise investment or not, I don't know. It's a marketing deal. So, I mean, they have to decide whether they'll get a return on, being exposed to millions of fans every week, and B, being in an industry, you know, they're the payroll processor for the Bengals, for example. Do they get more sporting contracts because of this? Do they get more, companies that have an affinity with the NFL or with the Bengals? They're going to have to measure that return on investment based on how their sales grow. And will it be over and above their plans to double sales to $1 billion in the next 5 years? I don't know. We'll see.
Rick, I know we don't have the precise financial terms for this deal, but do you have any thoughts on how this compares to other markets, other naming rights deals?
I think the numbers and the analysis that Joe threw out before was pretty accurate. There are these mid-level cities where comparisons are pretty worthwhile. It would be kind of silly comparing the Cincinnati deal to what's going on in Los Angeles with SoFi Stadium or in Las Vegas with the Allegiant Stadium. Those are much larger. Those are $25, $30 million a year. I think the numbers that Joe put out are on target. And Dan's point is also spot on, is that these, what we learned in our research is that it's not really about a kind of straight return on investment as much as this visibility and branding issue. Now, I see Paycor commercials all the time. I'm on the East Coast, and they're actually kind of clever. I like them, but they're omnipresent. They're everywhere. So they're in the middle of this strategy to increase their visibility nationally. Whether it latches on or not, I mean, you look at the history of naming rights, and so many stadiums are on their second, third, fourth company that has got naming rights because the other ones have gone out of business, or they've merged, or something's happened. It'd probably be an interesting project for Joe, for y'all and Kentucky to look at this and see what the turnover rate is for naming rights, because very few stadiums now have the same name that they did when they were first built. It's probably the exception rather than the rule, or the rule that they've changed their names.
Gotcha. We'll continue our conversation about the Bengals stadium naming rights deal in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss a new memorial to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. planned for Avondale. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking about the Bengals' new naming rights deal with the chair of Northern Kentucky University's Department of Marketing, Sports Business, and Event Management, Dr. Joe Cobbs, Villanova University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Rick Eckstein, and WCPO9 I-Team reporter Dan Monk. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Joe, we were talking before the break about how, you know, the lease spells out how much money the team could get, how much money the county could get. There's this 70-30 split, although that's a lot more complicated than it might look on the surface, as Dan explained to us. Do you have any thoughts on how that split compares to other deals in the NFL? Is it typical for a team to share naming rights revenue with a county or municipality?
It is pretty common for the county or municipality or even sometimes the state to be involved, you know, with the stadiums in terms of publicly funding. And then it really varies quite a bit about how often the revenue streams are shared coming from that stadium. But I would not say that it's unprecedented to have something like this in the deal, although as I think it was Rick or Dan pointed out earlier, Cincinnati's situation is notoriously in the favor of the team and disfavor of the county, which has been featured quite a bit prominently. However, I have been encouraged by, at least up until this point, the discussions about the renovations that are upcoming and how that might be funded. It does seem to be rather cordial, at least at this stage, about approaching those as a partnership and not an adversarial relationship.
What do you think, Rick? How does this that split compare to deals in other parts of the country? You have any thoughts on that?
Well, because the naming rights deals have become so much more prevalent now, it's almost hard to keep up. I know when we were studying these in more detail, when we were writing our book 10-odd years ago, there was only one other stadium that shared any money at all with its municipality. And that was the Denver Broncos field when it was Invesco at Mile High. Now it's got another name, of course. And that was about a 50-50 split. But the naming rights weren't ubiquitous back then, and they are now. So there may be some more revenue sharing going on. But a 50-50 split, I think, would be very, very unusual. Mm. And the 70-30, and again, once the deductible is taken care of, I don't think it's going to be 70-30. But that would be really unusual if that actually happened.
Dan, have you talked to people who have discussed what this, if the county does get some extra revenue out of this deal, what it could mean for the county? I guess I'm wondering if it could help the county pay for some of the stadium upgrades we know are in the works.
I guess that's possible. I do know that on social media, instead of calling it Paycor Stadium, people were calling it Pay Joe Stadium. So I think the Bengals fans are expecting all the money to go to Joe Burrow, which I think people would be happy about. But I'm not sure how much money the county is actually going to get out of this naming rights deal. Now, they are in the middle of a negotiation, and the fact that the Bengals are getting more private money might give them some leverage to get a better, you know, long-term deal if there's a lease renewal, or if that turns into a discussion about a new stadium. You know, we're very early in this stadium negotiating process. And so all the money that the Bengals can make privately probably accrues to the benefit to the county, just from the perspective that it gives them more ability to say, well, we're not going to pay for this because you've got that.
Hmm. We do have a caller on the line. Matt, thank you for calling Cincinnati Edition. What is your question or comment?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I know the Bengals lease with Hamilton County expires in 2026. And that lease actually says that the Bengals cannot enter into a naming rights agreement that extends beyond the end of that lease. But the agreement with Paycor is reportedly for 16 years. So I was just wondering if any of the guests have any idea how the Bengals might be able to enter into such a long agreement when the stadium lease is up in 4 years and says that the Bengals can't have such an agreement. Hmm. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt.
The Bengals did confirm that it's a 16-year deal, and I think one way they could get around that limit is that the contract, the lease, has extension periods, so it's possible that they could be viewing that, or they're asking the county to view that as, yes, the lease expires in 2026, but we have, I think it's 2 5-year extension periods that can be entered into. Maybe they're signing this deal with the knowledge that they can extend the lease under the terms of the lease itself.
Hmm. Matt, does that help?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, let's talk some more about what this money could mean for the Bengals. You know, Mike Brown has also said this was a necessary step to keep up with other NFL teams, but it took the team more than 20 years to get a naming rights deal or to negotiate one. Joe, has that put the Bengals behind in terms of revenue and what they can do on the field?
Yes, it's certainly, you know, as I think it was Rick that pointed out that pretty much all the teams, I think there's only two left now in the NFL that don't have a naming rights agreement. So they were leaving a revenue stream essentially on the table. Now, what we don't know is, you know, had they reached out and been in negotiations in the past and then, you know, it just didn't follow through for one reason or another. So they could have been exploring this in the past, and now is just when it made sense for it to happen. And when you think about their Super Bowl, you know, making it all the way to the Super Bowl and wanting to keep some of their superstars and stuff like that, it does make sense for it to happen now. The other comment that I'll put in on that is we know that the Brown family, you know, they're very family oriented and, you know, wanting to name the stadium after Paul Brown, who is certainly a football icon, not just in the state of Ohio, but in our country. I think they saw it as a fitting tribute to him and his contribution to the sport.
Did that surprise you, Joe, that tribute had, you know, kind of an expiration date? I mean, I think there are some people in town who were maybe never thought the Bengals would remove Paul Brown's name from that stadium. Taking Mike Brown agreeing to take his dad's name off that stadium seems like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word surprise. It didn't surprise me. What I anticipated, and maybe this will still happen, or maybe it has happened and I just missed it, but is some sort of tribute to Paul Brown to remain. So maybe they call it Paul Brown Field at Paycor Stadium, mm-hmm. or do some other type of continued recognition. That's what I would expect to see.
Gotcha. We did get another call from Kyle who could not stay on the line, but he says that his comment is that money that the Bengals are going to get through this naming rights deal should not be equated to money spent on players because of the spending caps that the NFL has. What do you think about that, Rick?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that would play out with the spending caps. I'm sure the Bengals have researched all this. And Joe's point about why they waited, I think, is really important here, too, in that, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And things could have been negotiated for a long time. And the money in the NFL now is just so out of control that these mid-market teams like the Steelers, let's say, or like the Bengals, they almost have no choice but to try to find some other revenue streams. It's not that they're necessarily being greedy, but the scale and scope of what other NFL teams are spending is just so huge that they can't afford to compete in even the slightest way. I don't even mean on the field, but just as a business, if they don't find more revenue streams. I mean, if you look at Major League Baseball, there's only about five stadiums left that don't have names on them, corporate names on them, and they're all in the giant cities like Yankee Stadium and Wrigley Field and Dodger Stadium. So it's just the way that modern corporate sports machine is working right now.
Hmm. And Dan, you mentioned the social media reaction, referring to it as the Pay Joe Stadium. Mm-hmm. What do you get the sense that fans are hoping this will mean being able to pay players, improve the stadiums, more wins, more Super Bowl runs? Is that the vibe that you're getting from the fans?
I think so. I mean, I don't talk to a lot of fans, but everybody I know who is minimally interested in football wants this party to keep going. They want Joe Burrow to be around here for a long time. So, you know, anything the Bengals could do to make that happen, I think would give the team more support, both in terms of fan interest, but also in negotiating power, because people liked that Super Bowl run a lot last year.
They sure did. And Dan, I know that you and I both know that the Bengals have always had good lawyers on their team in the front office and plenty of good expertise out in the community. Does it make sense to you that they would figure out a way to be able to pay these players and make it work with the NFL caps as they exist?
It makes sense to me, yeah, because the Bengals, they've always spent at or close to the cap, except in the early years of the stadium. I can remember reporting on how the Bengals weren't spending to the cap, and people thought that was outrageous at the time because here you are in this lucrative new stadium deal and you're not even spending to the cap. But I think they've done a pretty good job over the years of at least meeting that minimal or that NFL threshold, you know, where everybody is on par. But I think that going forward, they are going to have to be creative about how they structure their deals so they can pay these big salaries to Joe Burrow, maybe Ja'Marr Chase and others, to keep some of this talent here for a longer term than they otherwise could have in the past.
Hmm. And Joe, another question for you. There was speculation early on that if the Bengals did enter a naming rights deal, it might be with a sports betting organization. Do you have any thoughts on how it ended up being Paycor and why it might not have gone that direction?
Yeah, I think you know, Cincinnati and the Brown family is sort of known for being a more conservative area, at least compared to, you know, the coasts or a larger metropolitan area. And so, you know, while I didn't predict Paycor, I was anticipating, you know, some type of financial services company or a more traditional type business, and one that was strongly local or in the region. You know, I didn't expect a sports betting company or a crypto company. So I wasn't too surprised in that regard.
Well, I've been talking with the chair of Northern Kentucky University's Department of Marketing, Sports Business, and Event Management, Dr. Joe Cobbs, Villanova University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Rick Eckstein, and WCPO9 I-Team reporter Dan Monk. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. Thanks, Lucy.
Up next, we'll talk with some of the artists behind a new memorial to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that's planned for Avondale. This is Cincinnati Edition.